Hey all you nerds out there, this is Geek's old brother, and I'm putting the funk in the Final Frontier. Welcome to another Comic Game Money episode, episode 273 of Geek's old brother and the Nerdy Venoms. In this episode, we invited Russ Emanuel, well, Shadow Scout, invited Russ Emanuel, a director of an indie film called Occupants. She invited him on the show because he's a curious creative, which is a person that doesn't normally create comics, but in this case, Russ and his producer decided to make a comic book tie-in to his sci-fi movie Occupants. And they started an Indiegogo, which has gone successful. And we talked to him about the process, about what how he used the comic to tie into the film and what the film was about and everything. So this is a pretty good interview. Really appreciated Russ for coming on the show and also joining us after. He's one of us. He's one of the geeks. So also, of course, we did nerdy news and box office totals and stuff like that. So it was a full show. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher, and if you do, rate and subscribe to the show. And also leave a comment. We always love a little bit of commenting so that we can get some feedback. Also, check me out, geeksoulbrother.com. You got reviews and trailers on there. And also, hit that donate button to help us out with some of the things that we'd love to do, get equipment, stuff like that. Also, find me on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, YouTube, on YouTube now. Also, if you have any questions or comments, email me at geeksoulbrother@gmail.com. And for all your nerdy news, just check out Five Nerdy Vems, F-I-V-E Nerdy Venoms on Facebook and Twitter. And if you want to join us live, Tuesdays, 10 p.m., we record on TalkShoe.com, TalkAndShoeLikeYouWear.com. And we love a good nerdy conversation, so check us out there. Last but not least, there's language in the show, so just watch the kiddies. 18 or older would be appreciated. Other than that, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Talk to you later. Peace.
Dalek, you want to start?
Yeah, let's do this. Play that funky music.
Did you actually use the theme song from Friday the 13th 3?
No!
Halloween 3?
No!
It sounded like Doctor Who.
It's like the preamble to Doctor Who.
Okay.
The preamble.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, last time we did this show, everybody complained that I was playing Tangerine Dream. So you know what you get this song? Actual fucking Tangerine Dream. So shut up.
Well, thanks for listening.
I think we need to take the music choice, the music selection away from you for like a week, for a month or two. just for our probationary purposes.
Just so you could come back to it.
Voting rights.
Exactly. anyways, that Thursday of the month, Tribbles, welcome to the Comic Gamani show. Once a month, we do a show covering topics in the realms of comic, video games, and anime. Feel free to join us every month for the show or during our regular podcast every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard, 9 Central, 7, what is it, 7
Pacific?
Yeah, thank you. Let me introduce you to my fellow members of the Infinity Watch, to Geek Soul Brothers Adam Warlock, the Nerdy Venoms.
Yay!
I only use that because I'm reading that. I'm reading Infinity War. We have the current criminal of the Nerdy Venoms, who is waiting sentencing next week, Shadow Scout.
No contest.
No
comment should be.
Yes, you missed it, JD, on Tuesday. I arranged charges against her.
Respectability politics. Had enough.
It's a class C geek felony, by the way. So.
Wow.
Yeah, her punishment is she has to watch every single episode of Seraph of the End in order.
You know that?
No, I haven't come up with a. I haven't come up with a punishment for her yet.
You got
that's a face worth of death. Come on, man.
Lightsaber, right? Like, there's no jeweled lightsaber coming if you're getting like penalties.
Nope. Anyway, we have the other female, the one who doesn't have any charges against her.
Yeah.
Jade Quinterella.
Wait to the end of this show.
I still haven't gotten the jewel lightsaber yet either. And I heard there was supposed to be a tiara, but...
you have to go to Geek Soul Brother for that. We have Toby One Kenobi, the man on the ones and twos and threes.
Nanu.
Dalek is also joining us.
I'm Groot.
You are. And we are also waiting for M-Dog. We don't know where he is. He said there were planes flying over his head. We assume that he's living somewhere on an airfield, but we haven't quite figured that out yet.
No, they're all helicopters. They're all colored black.
Gotcha. And, of course, we have our guest tonight, Russell Emanuel, director, producer, writer, all sorts of things that he does.
Hey, how you doing?
We do have a fantastic show lined up tonight. Of course, like I said, we have Russell Emanuel joining us. Talk about a comic project he is crowdfunding currently and lining up with a film project that he's also working on. We're also talking about Free Comic Book Day as well as some of the games that we've seen pop up over the last couple of weeks. Trailers, gameplay, stuff like that, because we're all leading into E3. And a couple of other things, like I said, that we're probably whoring ourselves over. So, I mean, we're whoring ourselves for Russell tonight anyway. So, we are Russell's whores.
I got your money. I got your money.
So, it is truly a packed show. So, let's get to it, shall we? Let's begin by what we've been doing to amuse ourselves, other than whoring ourselves tonight, for the last month. Around the room, we start with the Criminal Shadow Scout.
So, I have been reading something that I'm sure other people have been reading too. It's called Black Panther, penned by Ta-Nehisi Coates, a genius, and I'm enjoying it.
Good. Even though it's only one episode, one issue in, yes, it's definitely...
I can enjoy what I'm reading.
I know. We will talk about it later since we are talking about Marvel. Dalek.
Well, the anime season began, so I've been watching
everything.
Not everything. Actually, I have been watching everything, but like the ones I've been keeping up with are My Hero Academia, which is a great show. It's a season's one punch, man. You should watch it. And God, what was the other one? That'll come to me.
He's already forgotten.
Yeah, I've already forgotten. Also, been playing Binding of Isaac and what's the name of them? Damn it. Oh, Stardew Valley.
Very good. JD?
Still playing League of Legends. Gotten up to level 15 for myself. Pretty damn proud.
Level up.
Pretty soon she's going to stop showing up here to play that. Yes.
She's playing it right now.
I'm sure she is.
It's probably a lot more entertaining than us.
I don't know
Speak
yet.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, exactly. Toby won.
Well, let's see. On the console, I'm playing Quantum Break and Elite Dangerous. And my handheld, I'm carrying around the Vita, and I went back for some reason to Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, God, that reminds me. I have to charge my DS tonight. I've been like itching like a crack fiend lately.
I still find it bizarre that I bought a Vita, not a 3DS.
Yes, that is bizarre, because I brought my 3DS first, and then I decided to go back because someone was giving away one for really cheap, and I said, you know what, I'll try
it. Yeah, it was Prime Day. They were going for like half price.
Yeah. Russ, have you been reading any comics, watching any anime, or playing any video games as of late?
Yeah, it's called Occupants.
What answer?
Best ever.
Yes. Well,
no, like seriously, it's a 24/7 venture. So yes, I've been reading and rereading my comic book called Occupants.
Well, we will get into that for a minute. As I said, we are whoring ourselves out to you, so that was a good plug for yourself.
It's supporting is the word. Come on, this is a family show.
Since when?
I did. No, no. You know, I should say I did read Star Wars Aftermath, but that was a couple weeks ago.
Well, that's close enough.
Oh, I'm going to read that. Okay. How was that?
It was okay. It was okay.
That's what I was thinking. That's
and, it wasn't like spectacular, but it was okay.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
The book. That's the book, right?
Yeah, the book.
Yeah.
People have said they don't.
It leads up to the film. That's why I read it. I wanted to get some hints as the new film, The Force Awakens.
I just let the suckers read it and take the footnotes from there.
I mean, it was
not you, mind you, other suckers.
I know I'm a sucker, but
great private. I'm the guest. And it's time for me to take the show over.
Anyway,
our work is done here. Good night, folks.
Exactly. Very good. I myself have been reading a few trades. Infinity War I've been reading because I didn't read it. And of course, I'm going to catch myself up before the two movies in 2018, 2019. And I also read Black Panther number one, but we'll get into that later. As I mentioned earlier, we have a guest joining us tonight. He has been involved with numerous film projects over the last couple of years, and now he is trying his hand at being a comic book creator. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Russell Emanuel.
Yay! Hi, everybody.
Hello. Well, first off, thank you for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. Of course, the rookie of the group, Shadow Scout, will be conducting the interview this evening.
Yes.
Now, before you begin, Shadow, I must say, we have every faith in you. Don't F it up.
Don't screw it up.
Yeah, don't not like the last guest that you chopped up. Like that. Don't we want him to come back. We want Russell to come back.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Just kidding.
I've been pulled up on charges. Geek woman walking over here. It'll be great.
Hey, what happened?
Oh, she. Okay.
No. We will not talk about this.
No. We will talk about this.
Catch it on the Sci-Fi Channel. It'll be on.
What happened was is that in our private chat where we play in the show and everything, she did mention that she has not seen very many animated features, and I made a reference to Despicable Me. And then she made the comment. Oh, she basically said about the film. Oh, well, I'm not going to see that crap. So,
whoa!
Oh no, he is embellishing. I said, you know what? I have no interest in seeing Despicable Me. No wonder I didn't get the reference. End of story.
Yes, which basically tells me that you are calling it a piece of crap.
No. All right.
Which then brought the charges against her. Anyway, enough about that.
She and I will watch Indiana Jones 4.
Oh, I do want to see that.
It might be a makeup. Yeah. Unless that movie sucks.
Oh, it's the best of the four.
Oh my gosh. I'm so with you on that. I was just telling people that I love Alien Resurrection out of all the aliens.
Okay, so we gotta stop. We gotta stop, man. All right, let's get with this.
Yeah, we have a topic. we have a guest. Let's get in
there. So Russ, thank you for being on the show. The last time we saw each other was in February at Farpoint Con, outside Baltimore, aka Freeze Point Con. I mean, it was super cold. That was like the coldest I've ever experienced, and it's still kind of thawing out over here. You know, I'm still near DC. So where are you right now, Russ? Are you in sunny California? Are you in a tropical parallel paradise? Like, where are you?
I'm in a place called Huntington Beach, California, which is also known as Surf City, USA, which is in Orange County in LA. Yes. So I'm in SoCal.
So he's warm.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's a little chilly. Let's see what the temperature is. 63.
Oh, Lord, don't you do this, because I work with people in California. They do this crap to me all the time.
It's 63 degrees, and I was freezing.
Oh, God. It's currently in the 40, high 30s, low 40s up in Canada right now. So
I just want you all to know that I live in Kentucky, and today's high was 71.
What? Oh, wow. Let's all go to Kentucky.
Right, but it's nowhere near as beautiful as Surf City, California, though. So let's not kid ourselves.
So that's great. So we're here to talk about your comic book tie-in to your film Occupants, which is doing pretty good on Indiegogo, would you say?
I'm very, very pleasantly surprised that it's doing as well as it's doing. So there is demand. Yes, it's at 186% right now, about $7,500.
Wow. Yes, and we definitely need to like I said, whore ourselves for the shows to get that number up even further. So, Twitterella, you definitely got to tweet that throughout the night.
Thanks. Yep, been doing it.
Okay, cool.
And there's I think 6 days left for people to still support.
Yeah.
The project.
Yes. 6 days. The beauty of this comic book, it's actually a tie-in to our feature film, Occupants, which stars Robert Picardo of Star Trek Voyager. So this is a new story that actually takes place during acts 1 and 2 of the feature film.
That's great. Can you tell us a little bit more about Occupants, the film?
Yeah. Occupants is a 81-minute sci-fi horror feature film. It's in the found footage genre, and again, it stars Robert Picardo of Star Trek, but it's about this young couple named Annie and Neil Curtis, and they're played by Brianna White and Michael Pugliese. And this young couple, she's a documentarian, and she's doing a new documentary. It's like a reverse Super Size Me, where they eat this raw vegan detox diet. So what she does in order to document it, she sets up cameras all over their house. And while they're doing that diet, they inadvertently capture a parallel version of themselves, living in the same house, but it's a parallel dimension. So what happens is, over time, is at first they could only see them. And they consult the Robert Picardo character, whose name is Dr. Alan Peterson in the film. Of course, he's playing a doctor, right?
Yes.
But but he runs this institute called the Peterson Research Institute, who happened to put together this film, quote-unquote, this film. This is one of their case studies. So basically, they're consulting with this doctor, and he say, just watch them, because, you know, you can't interact with them anyway. Well, what happens is, over time, a portal opens, and they're able to transport objects between the two universes. And then, as the story progresses even further, it turns out that our parallel couple are not very nice.
Oh.
So, it gets into the horror genre.
Isn't that always what it happens, though? I mean...
Aren't they kind of asking for it?
Well, the beauty of this, the reason why I directed this film, is it's a psychological horror film. Because basically, you have this loving couple, right? They have a great job, they have a great life, they own their own home. You know, they're very happy. But their parallel versions are very unhappy. They made the wrong choices in life, and they ended up in a place that they don't want to be. So, and as the movie progresses, they try to do things to each other that aren't very nice. So I can't say what it is, but let's just say... as an example, like you yourself, you know, you feel like you're a good person, right? But then your parallel self is like a psychopath.
Huh.
So then you start thinking, wait a minute, if she's a psychopath or he's a psychopath, can't I be one too? Because they are exactly the same person as me. And that's why I love this film.
That's awesome.
Well, so I don't want to give it away, but let's just say it definitely goes into the horror. It's sci-fi horror. And, you know, so far we've been getting a pretty positive reception to anybody who's seen the film. So, you know, I'm very grateful about that.
Well, I saw the film at Farpoint Con, and, you know, what I was really impressed by, well, first of all, I learned one thing. Never do a vegan detox diet unless I want to open a parallel universe. I mean, gosh, could you imagine Evil Shadow on the podcast? That would be awful.
You mean you're not evil now?
Wait, didn't I meet her at Farpoint?
Oh my gosh, Nat, you too.
She says that she strokes her goatee.
So anyway, so what I really liked about your film, Russ, is that you had your own take on the found footage aesthetic. So what elements of your filmmaking style did you want captured in the comic book?
The one thing we could not do in the feature film because of budgetary constraints is show something like, let's say, a battle or explosions or whatnot. And a comic book, it's tied into the anime crowd, right? So we wanted something that was more anime-esque, bringing in Japanese culture. At the same time, showing something that's like, in the comic book, you see this battle going on, you know, with jet fighters and they're bombing this university. Well, that's something that we just cannot do right now with the budget we had for Occupants, the feature film. So that's something I wanted to do, and I thought it was very interesting. At the same time, since we deal with parallel universes, and I'm talking, when I say parallel, you know, why just one parallel world? Why not a million or a billion or a zillion or, you know, I mean, you can go on and on. It's infinite. So, and we had people record, you know, different actors record videos, testimonial videos of seeing parallel universes. So what we did is, one of them was by my friend Timothy Lee Conley, and he recorded a video. And I assigned him a case 285, and his character's name is Lee Mitchell. It turns out that, this was inadvertent, but... his case was the only other one that took place in Los Angeles. So what I did was I tied it together, and it became more like a detective story where Dr. Peterson's son and his girlfriend, Dr. Peterson's son's girlfriend, they go try to figure out what's going on here, because they're looking at the footage of Annie and Neil Curtis, seeing something is wrong here. You know, why are all these people seeing these parallel worlds? Is there something going on? Is it real? Well, that's what they're trying to investigate. And by going to case 285, and the film is case 831, it turns out there is. And it's pretty horrific.
Wow.
Again, I don't want to give it away. Otherwise, yeah. You know, spoil it. But let's just say we do encounter British America in the year 2016. And they're fighting Nazi Japanese forces. This is the year 2016.
Of course.
Of course. Of course.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you conveyed that vision to your creative team? I know you teamed up with artist Dave Beatty, who's done some work with Marvel and DC. So what was that process like?
Well, there's this one person that we need to mention, and he's the associate producer of the film. His name is Eric Kask. Without Eric, none of this would be happening. Eric is the comic book aficionado, and he's the one who approached me about the idea of possibly doing a comic book. And he says, I know this guy named Dave Beatty, and he's a friend of mine, and I think it might be a really good idea if we explore this, because there's a franchise opportunity, right? And I'm going, you know what? Let's try it. Let's see what happens. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen. He broached the idea. He was on set in 2014. That's when we shot the film, September, October 2014. He broached the idea at that point, but, you know, I was directing, and it was, you know, just a little, I don't know, hearsay, and he's like, you know, we basically, I guess, you know, went into post-production and everything, and he brought it back up about a year later, I guess. So this is around maybe October of 2015. Mm-hmm. And this is when the film was nearing completion, and I had more time to focus on something like this. And then he brought it up again, and I'm going, you know what? This is actually a really interesting idea. So what I did, because I know my own film, is I crafted a story around certain characters, minor and major characters in the film. And I made it a point where it doesn't spoil the film, and mm-hmm. if you... like if you read the comic book, it will not spoil the film, and vice versa. If you watch the film, it will not spoil the comic book. So we approached the artist in November. We signed a contract. we had him do 2 pages out of 24. It's called a comic book one shot, which is 24 pages long. So, you know, first I crafted a story that takes place over 24 pages, based on what Eric told me to do. Mm-hmm. And then we had the artist draw those 2 pages, then he drew a cover. And we used those elements, and then my friend, who was the director of photography and editor on Occupants, Emil Harris, he and I shot a video where I presented the idea about the comic book. And this introductory video was used, I guess, as the focal point in our Indiegogo campaign. Which, by the way, we did an Indiegogo campaign for the feature film itself 2 years before. And that was successfully raised also at 106%. So we put that all together. And then Eric came up with this. He was in touch with this company called Critical Threat Comics. And they agreed, and a great place in, I think it's Phoenix, Arizona. But I think specifically Mesa or Tempe. I'm sorry, Eric. I think it's Tempe or it's one of those two. But it's one of the suburbs of Phoenix. Anyway, he was able to get them in February to do a release party for the Indiegogo campaign. And then the artist went there and, you know, we had people show up. And it was very nice. It was a very pleasant experience. This was, by the way, this was 1 week after Farpoint.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is 1 week after Farpoint. This is when I was literally traveling all over the place. And I actually got a little bit sick afterwards. Oh, well. It's okay. But yeah, so then we did a release party, and yeah, at this point, what, 54 days into it, we're now at 186%, so, I mean, I'm just really grateful. Honestly, I didn't know what was going to happen, I really didn't, but I tried, you know, I'm trying my hardest. When you ask me what comic book I'm reading, well, I wasn't lying. I mean, I'm literally working on this
camera. Dude, you just
said
joke.
No,
you weren't.
I'm sleeping, eating, living it. I mean, it's like a nightmare. But
well, that's a good question. I mean, do you ever get a point where it's like, okay, I can't work on this right now.
Yeah.
For a day or two, it's like, no, I can't.
And then I watch Batman versus Superman.
That is... That'll clear the slate.
Yes, that should be in college campuses right now. The what and what not to do.
Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes in my dreams, I would think that I'm working on the campaign, and I would wake up in a cold sweat or a night sweat.
Yeah, because you got confused. You thought it was Robin, and it was really Flash telling you not to do it. Yeah.
Are we allowed to use real names on this program?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Yep. Yeah, you know, I think it's Lakita who's attacking me.
Yeah. Oh, she attacks everybody. That's not a dream. That's reality.
Yeah, she's the one that basically goes, someone shit on the coach and
listen,
then backs away slower.
Her name is Shadow Scout for a reason.
But in Lakita's defense, she was also an ardent supporter very early on in our campaign. I do really appreciate that, Lakita.
Yeah, no, she beats you up to pick you up. Yep. Or should I say beat you down to pick you up?
We've been learning that the hard way the last few months since bringing her.
You just keep digging that hole. So one thing that, you know, I mentioned I was reading Black Panther earlier on, and Ta-Nehisi Coates has been pretty open about his learning curve as a curious creative. I mean, he's an essayist, and now he's taking on a very specific form of visual storytelling. But Russ, as a filmmaker, you live for storyboarding. So coming into this new medium, was it like being in a parallel universe?
Well, yeah, because look, I've never done a comic book before. And you have to draw panels, I guess. What I did was, based on what my associate producer told me to do, he told me just to describe each panel. You know, whether it's dialogue or what characters are going to go in there or what, you know, whatever or not. And that's what I did. And I basically did about 7 panels per page, you know. What's going to happen, I guess, when he actually draws the rest of the 22 pages, he's going to maybe put 6 here, 8 there, you know, 5 here. So he's going to kind of balance it out. But that's what I tried to do. And then, of course, I showed it to Eric just to get his approval. Because honestly, he's the one, he's the reason why this exists. And he is the comic book aficionado. So, and he says, you know what, this works, Russ. So then we presented it to Dave. You know, I actually had a conference call, all three of us, just to make sure. And I see your Twitter post about Batman versus Superman. Sorry.
Multitasking.
No, don't let them distract you.
There's just no way around that movie.
No, we had a conference call just to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like an 800-pound elephant in the room, you know.
Ton.
Metric ton.
But we just wanted to make sure we're on the same page, literally. And we decided on a certain style. You know, we could go pure anime, or we can go, you know, what Dave Beatty's more accustomed to, which is, you know, the DC Marvel comic style. And we decided on a combination of the two.
Mashup.
And, you know, I think it's very fascinating what he was able to come up with. If you go onto our campaign, if you just go to Indiegogo, type occupants, the comic book tie-in, it will show up. But you can tell, you know, it definitely is the DC Marvel style is there. But at the same time, there is an anime look to it, too. So it's a combination of those two. And I think it's very fascinating. You know, we're trying something new. And he's never done this before. So for Dave, it's actually, you know, as an artist.
Yeah.
And as an artist, I think we're all artists, right? So yeah. We like to do something new. You know, when I directed Occupants, it was new, found footage. I'd never done it before. You know, thought it was very fascinating. You know, doing a comic book tie-in. I think it's incredibly fascinating. So I wanted to make sure that Dave and Eric were all on the same page with me. And that they were as excited as I was. And it seems they are. So, you know, here we are.
That's really cool. So Russ, I know we're here to talk about the future, but let's go back. Let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about your childhood.
Wow.
You...
A little bit?
Wait. Since when did this become a shrink session?
My childhood?
First of all, did you grow up reading comics as a kid?
I grew up watching a lot of comic books, films, you could say. The Richard Donner Superman film really influenced me. It's just something about that film. It's fantastic. It's an epic film. And of course you have John Williams, just iconic score. Which, by the way, John Williams is one of the reasons why I'm making films. It's just his music is just so incredible. And I'm still happy he's composing even to this day. And I look forward to his music for the other two Star Wars films coming out. But, I watched those films. And I watched Tim Burton's Batman. That was really, I guess, my, I don't know. How would you call it? My nectar? That's what I like.
You are best friends of the room right now. You are best friends of the room.
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm in Burton's Batman, and honestly, I like Batman Returns. It was kind of dark, but it was, you know, it was a really well-done film. Of course, Michelle Pfeiffer was just incredible as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
But yeah, you know, Superman 1, Superman 2, and I guess you could put 3 and 4 in there. But definitely
I'll stop at 3.
Yeah, we don't go beyond.
Come on,
three.
Nuclear Man.
So that's cool. And also one thing that I found really fascinating about your childhood is that you grew up in both the U.S. and Japan.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to hear how that perspective continues to shape your work as an artist.
Well, I'll tell you this: for Occupants, it definitely I got testimonial videos from all over the world. You know, one thing about growing up in Japan, which I went to an international school there called Canadian Academy, is you make a lot of close friends there who I still talk to this day. And they're all over the world. But basically, I look at the world as if we're all Terrans, to use a science term, I guess, or a Star Trek term. We're Terrans. We live on the planet Terra. You know, we're Earthlings, right? You know, so I don't view people as, oh, he's from this country, she's from that country. It's more like we're all humans. And that's one thing I guess I learned as I was growing up, because I was around people from everywhere. So I like to make my films international. You know, I like it to be as if you can view it in any part of the world, or maybe Mars.
It could happen.
Possibly Jupiter. But no, but seriously, that's my perspective on life. You know, I just everybody's human.
No, I agree on that.
Well, okay, you know, I'm
going for more than block, others, right? Personally. But,
oh yeah. My gosh. So one of my favorite awareness hashtags on Twitter right now is hashtag Galaxy of Women, which is focused on Women's Missing History Month. You know, it acknowledges that there are so many stories worth telling that we just don't hear about. And I call those stories shadow stories. So personally and professionally, what are some shadow stories that you'd like to see more storytellers on the film side, on the comic side, bring to light?
As in what kind of characters or people?
Just any stories that, you know, we could be...
Okay, again, I'm gonna go back to Occupants. I just have to. Mm-hmm. But you know, our story is about a heroine. You know, it's Annie Curtis's story. She's the main character. It's her movie. You know, her husband is a supporting character. When we shot the film, and it was by the way a really wonderful writer named Julia Cameron, who was found, and I got to give a shout out to my producer Howard Nash, who without him none of this would be happening. So. Howard, I love you. Julia, you did a wonderful script. But basically, you know, I think a story like that is very fascinating, you know, mm-hmm. Because one thing that we're able to explore in the film is motherhood.
Oh.
And that's, you know, you get a pregnancy. Pregnancies are involved. I don't want to get too much into the film, but that's something that we were able to explore. In Occupants, and I think that's kind of a fascinating subject to be able to deal with, because it's something very personal, you know. Uh-huh. You know, I being a mother, I can understand. I'm kidding.
Of two,
maybe.
So
no, but that's what I, you know, that a story like that. That's what I think is very fascinating. I mean, if that's what you were going for.
It's your question. So
no, it's your question. I'm just answering.
Yeah, it's his answer.
It's your world. He's living in it right now.
I'm constructivist. It's your question. Make it what it is.
Oh, look. I really am looking forward to Wonder Woman. Film, you know, her feature film. Which, by the way, and I'm going to get back to Batman versus Superman because I was.
Well,
not
we have to.
Not
mad at you.
What?
It's like everyone who comes onto the show is looking automatically for a podium to talk about Batman and Superman.
Yeah, we're the Pirates of Penzance, and it's basically our orphans.
I thought Wonder Woman was the best part of the film. It's just yep. She was like a glorified cameo. There wasn't even enough time to tell her story.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm looking forward to the actual feature film. Where it's focused just on her. You know, another example, I loved in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Rey. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. She was the main character. Everybody else was supporting, if you think about it. It was her story.
Yeah.
I think that's actually a really brilliant move by Lucasfilm and Disney to be able to do something like that. So, you know, I'm very much looking forward to Rey's story in you know, episode 8 and 9, when we find out that Luke is her father.
Okay.
Speculation.
You know what I did? I like to throw in there real quick. And just speaking on that, you know, the heroine and everything. I love what that one part where she's just like, "Stop taking my hand." I was just like, "Oh, it's a woman's world. It's a woman's world." It's like, yo, that is so great. I love that line. Sorry.
But you know, talking about that, a very tender moment there. You know, he kept taking her hand, right?
Yeah.
But then there was an explosion, and then he was knocked, I guess, slightly unconscious. And then she went to him, and then the first thing he asked her, because, you know, I mean, she was concerned about him, right? He says, "Are you all right?" And that's when she was like, "Whoa, you know, this person is actually a very nice person. And yeah. I liked her. I liked that interaction.
Yeah, I love that whole scene.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I like anyway. That too, but I don't think people should ship them at all. So that's another story.
Yeah, we're already getting shipping with Poe and Finn aura as it is already.
That shit makes more sense.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I thought it was BB.
OTP.
So Russ, besides being on the road a bunch for Occupants, what's next? Are there any other upcoming projects you'd like to talk about?
Well, I can't talk about them in detail.
That's fine.
But there are two films.
Generalities is fine.
anything.
Look, I am really, really focused on promoting Occupants, because it will be taking a lot of my time the next couple months. I will be going to the Florida SuperCon in July, and Picardo will be there to help rep the film. And I'm going to Wrathicon in Ohio, and that's coming up in a couple weeks. And we have a screening at my alma mater, which is the University of Southern California. So the cinema school, they were gracious enough to say that they will screen the film. And that's coming up in a couple weeks. So, you know, I'm busy dealing with that. And, of course, at the same time, we have this comic book campaign. You know, once the campaign ends, it's not like, okay, that's it, we're done. We have to physically create the comic book now. So, you know, we have all that. But at the same time, though, yeah, there are two films that we are definitely working on right now. And they're both in the action genre, you could say. So that's all I can say right now. But let's just say it will harken back to the action short film that I did 10 years ago called Girl with Gun. And that one is the reason why I'm doing feature films today. And it got into San Diego Comic-Con, which I'm very, very proud of. Because that was just like, that was a dream come true. I mean, San Diego Comic-Con. I mean, that's just, you know, that is the Comic-Con. So, and Occupants sort of touched on that. But, you know, this is a pure action film that is right now in the works. And that one I'm actually incredibly interested in. So that's where we are right now.
Awesome. Okay, Russ, before we get you out of the hot seat and on to the rest of the show, my colleague in geekdom, the private, has a few questions of his own.
Oh, no.
My advice, don't overthink it.
Yes.
Russ.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Russ, I do, in fact, have my own special set of questions for you.
Uh-oh.
In a segment we now officially call 120 Seconds in Heaven. let me give you a quick recap. You have 120 seconds to answer the list of questions I'm about to machine gun at you.
Okay.
It's a slow machine gun, don't worry. It's like a Tommy gun. It's like...
So basically, if you've seen Inside the Actor's Studio, it's like that, except even more embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
More fun for us, more embarrassing for you.
Yeah. It depends.
I'm
very much looking forward to this. Go ahead.
Yeah, it depends. All right, are you ready?
No.
No.
A couple of more jumping jacks. Hold on.
Okay. All right.
I'm afraid that's not one of the questions.
Yes, that's not one of the questions, no. Starting 3, 2, 1, start. Team Cap or Team Iron Man?
Captain America.
Unicorns or dragons?
Dragons.
Val Kilmer's best movie was Real Genius, yes or no?
No, it was Willow.
Wow. Wow. What kind of apocalypse would you not survive? Zombie, robot, alien, vampire, or Smurf?
You know, I'll go with Smurf because that's pretty cute.
Can't survive cuteness.
Red pill or...
to date.
Yeah, red pill or blue pill?
I'll go with the blue.
Who was a better captain, Kirk, Picard, Janeway, or Archer?
Picard.
Ooh. Best place you visited but you wouldn't want to live there?
Bahal.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Hot dogs or hamburgers?
Hamburgers.
Dr. Doom or Vandal Savage?
Dr. Doom?
time travel, future or past?
Future.
Favorite cartoon you watched when you were a kid?
Which one was that?
Say Jim.
Flintstones? Jetson. Why am I going to the past? Jetson.
Okay. Good answer. Good answer. Favorite Ghost in the Shell or Ghost of Mars?
Ghost in the Shell.
Michonne's Katana or Daryl's Crossbow?
I'll go with the second one.
Okay. Bruce Lee or Chung Lee?
Bruce Lee.
Who would win in a Star Trek Battle Royale? Kirk, Picard, or Janeway?
Kirk.
That's it.
Yo, he said both of them.
You are friends of the room right now. Why haven't we crossed paths? Like, what happened? Wait, we are crossing paths. We're crossing right now. Like, yo, I'm going to be your friend on Facebook tonight.
Yes. Facebook me. I'm on Facebook. Come on. Only Lakita.
And he's going to block you.
Okay. He's going to block you. Lakita, why aren't you on Facebook?
I have too many.
She is the shadow. Enough said.
Yeah. Now, I was just chastised by blurred words in the chat. Where was Cisco in all this? He was not a captain. He was a commander. He was not a captain of a ship.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, well, like around season... After season 3, yeah.
And
I thought he was a commander for most
And we all know
that's when his parallel self took over. You know, the one that with the goatee and no hair.
Oh, when he became the Hulk again. The man called Hulk?
And we all know Cisco would win anyway, so.
Yeah.
Of course. Because he has Major Kira.
Exactly. Well, that too. But.
Plus, I mean, he plays Thong Song and everyone goes crazy.
Okay.
Indeed. No.
Welcome Dim Dog to the show, everybody.
Yes. Of course.
You just had to use an appropriate moment, didn't you?
Perhaps this was either noticed or cared about.
What did you say?
Perhaps this was either noticed or cared about.
Good God. Anyway, again, Russ, thank you for joining us. You're well and welcome to stick around for the rest of the show. And contribute or
run like hell.
It's your choice. Absolutely your choice.
I could stick around a little, depending on how long you go.
Well, yeah,
we usually go to 11:30, but we try to keep it at 11:30. But
okay, let's go with the flow. Let's see what happens.
All right. Again, thank you, Shadow, also for the interview. It was charming.
Well, thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
No, this is great. I just got a new friend.
Oh, one other thing. Everybody, occupantsthemovie.com. That's our website. You can go there. You can see the comic book campaign. Yes. You can see anything that's happening on the film.
I'm already
on. And also contribute to the comic.
Yes.
Definitely do that.
I also want to say a thank you to everyone on this show who's going to be contributing. Thank you so much, everybody.
You're so welcome. I wanted to be one of the big people on there, and it looked like people like brought up a lot of stuff, man.
I didn't know they allowed Canadian pennies, but yeah.
Wow.
A cent is still a current denomination. We still can do that.
And he's sending it by.
You got rid of the penny.
Yes, we did.
He's sending all his by mail.
Because it's only worth it's like a decimal point compared to like a regular penny.
Exactly.
I mean, how does that work though?
It doesn't.
Rounds up. It rounds up or rounds down depending on what's closest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's really dumb, especially when you come across someone who can't count.
Look, I will tell you this. Another part of me, I don't know if you know this, but I collect 1 cent coins, American. So for me, the 1 cent coin has a special meaning. Ooh. Yep. It was like a stab in my heart.
If we find a couple of pennies, Canadian pennies laying around, we'll make sure to send you a couple.
Yeah, just contribute.
Exactly.
That donate.
You know?
It's not a hint.
No, not at all. Anyway.
I hear if you get like 100 of them, you can trade it for a dollar.
Wow.
That still happens?
Anyway, Free Comic Book Day is right around the corner, and we figured why not talk about it a little, seeing as how we won't be on when the when the actual day arrives. And since, again, this is another one of Shadow's ideas, so we figure it would be a little benefit of those who are not comic readers to introduce them into the thing and all that good stuff. Going into a bit of how it started, of course, it started in 2002 after an editorial write-up in 2001. And now it's become a big thing. So
very big.
Very big.
How big is that freecomicbookday.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So,
23 you know, more days.
Yes.
Yeah, and promoting them too. Anyway.
And grab you missed your calling, you know that? You should have been in marketing.
There you go.
I am in marketing. I'm
marketing. See? He hasn't missed a call. The universes are coming together right now. He's making his calling. I'm calling a friend. I'm calling you right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, it started with someone writing an editorial regarding... Because of the film movies were starting to come out around 2001, that it was a good opportunity for the industry to promote comics and get them out there and get, you know, to get an audience. So they started this whole thing called Free Comic Book Day. It wasn't much at the beginning, but it's turned out to being such a huge ordeal now. And we're closing on the 15th anniversary. Next year will officially be the 15th anniversary. So, anyone have any particular interesting stories when they've, you know, regarding Free Comic Book Day?
Well, who is the Free Comic Book Day veteran? Has everyone gone since the beginning?
I have.
Well, tell us about that first time, M-Dog.
Oh, geez. I don't even remember which of my stores it was. I used to have an old... I think it was at the old store I used to go to that was close to my house, and... They were doing this thing called Free Comic Book Day that no one had really heard of, so no one was sure what to expect. And you show up there, and they just had like a few tables and stuff. You get free comic books. There actually wasn't
much.
I think it was like as much as it is now. You had some books. You had like Marvel and DC and some of the smaller publishers doing their thing. But like, it's not like it is now where it's like everybody and their mother has something that they want to give away to you.
Yeah, I mean, I went the first couple of years myself in the shop that was near me, which was garbage, but that's beside the point. No, I mean, it had very little. It was mostly, like, previews once, you know, ash cans, different, you know, smaller stuff. I think, like, the biggest release was, like, Donald Duck or like, something like that. One of the Disney publishers did something along those lines.
I was associated with like Sonic the Hedgehog comics.
Yeah, yeah. Archie always put out something for
it. Yeah, it was Archie. Sorry, it was Archie, and there really wasn't much though. And when it came to Marvel, it was only like a preview of.
Yeah, they had like a sampler. I can't even remember what event was going on.
And you know, I haven't really gone, but this year alone, it's nuts what they have available for a Free Comic Book Day this year. I mean, you have Captain America number 1. It's the new one, I guess. They also have a gold release of Avengers number 1. So, yeah, it's just really cool. I mean, you have Assassin's Creed from Titan Comics.
Oh, wait, Assassin's Creed is coming out? What?
Yeah, it had to
come. That'll be fascinating. You know, the movie's coming out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to the movie. But
me too.
I didn't know they had a comic book.
Yeah. Oh no, they have a video game. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
No judging, guys. No
my
judging.
Favorite titles.
Come on.
My favorite
on.
Titles.
Just,
they have.
FYI,
they have.
Just treat me as if I'm.
As if you're Shadow Scout. They'll treat you like the next Shadow. Like
we were cool. Exactly.
Ooh.
JD threw down the gauntlet on that one, not me. No, but yeah, no, they have a comic Assassin's Creed comic series, but this one is sort of like a one shot, I guess, of a different storyline, as far as I remember. But I mean, like IW Publishing's coming out with something. You have Devil's Due. You know, DC Comics has a
Due is back. God dang! I thought they closed down.
I mean, every publisher has something coming out this year.
I'm excited about IDW Strawberry Shortcake. I'm serious.
IDW puts out a good one every year. I'll give you that. Even though I'm not, even if I'm not a Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh,
yeah, well, man, they broke my Transformers.
Well, I like the dessert.
Oh, yeah. I love the ice cream.
Stomach.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm not that much of a vegan.
Wait, IDE is making ice cream? What?
No.
Say what? Cakes? I am there. I am right there.
Well, are they releasing the you know, Star Wars is coming out with a C-3PO's red arm explanation?
That actually came out. Oh, that comes out like next, I think, in a couple weeks. Actually, next week. Actually, I think it comes.
Oh,
out.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that one I'm curious about.
I already know how he gets it, but that's irregardless of.
I thought they said it was a long, funny story.
It is a long, funny story, but we won't get into it because we don't have enough time. Exactly. No, but it's, you know, Dark Horse also has Legend of Korra sampler with a couple of other things. It's just a lot of stuff coming out, and next year, I mean, it can only get bigger because it's the 15th anniversary. So who would have thought that this would last this long at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's successful this long.
Me.
Really? Why?
Comic, I mean, book especially movies, if you, jumping out, yeah, there. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, also the fact that, like, you know, they always write off comic book as a dying medium. I mean, it's like, you know, we've been a dying medium for how many decades now?
Well, it's not that
living
it's
a, dead.
It's not that it's a dying medium. It's just become less accessible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, go ahead.
You have digital right, comic books.
And which I've moved over
we're targeting with Occupants, too.
Yeah, but digitally. It's just that you used to be able to get them like in supermarkets and stuff and newsstands. Now it's basically just confined to better than average bookstores and comic book shops. And
they're trying to save trees.
No. Did you ever see Diamond Warehouse in Colorado? That thing's freaking huge, man. And it's always full, so I don't think they're saving trees in that respect.
Well, you know, what was it? Borders is gone. Now there's only Barnes & Noble, at least here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, Barnes & Noble, yeah, is still there, but it's like, I figure Barnes & Noble's going to go any year.
I do, too. You know, same thing with the video stores, like Blockbuster. It's gone where I am. Hollywood Video's gone. I just
found my Blockbuster's card a couple of weeks ago.
Barnes & Noble.
No kidding.
Barnes & Noble has the Nook keeping him alive. So,
but that's... Nook is gone.
Yeah, they killed the Nook.
They killed the Nook.
Oh, they killed the Nook.
Yeah, they killed it. It's dead. Yeah.
It's gone.
It's dead, Jim.
I just make one non-comic book point. What really surprises me about 15 years ago, you know what it is?
What?
It's in the 21st century.
Wow.
Anyway, that's it.
Yes. No, but I mean, is anyone going this year to Free Comic Book Day? And if so, what are you picking up?
You
might as well pick up One Punch Man.
Oh, yeah.
They have that?
Yeah, they have a sampler.
What?
Yeah, One Punch Man and My Hero Academia.
Oh my gosh! She's like, what?
Also,
why is he even showing up on this listing?
It's on the bottom.
At the damn you, Nerdist!
No, it's at the super bottom. If you go to freecomicbookday.com, they actually have the real list.
Yeah, go to the actual website, private.
Yeah, immediately next to it is the best comic book.
Shout out! All right, you have balls, okay?
Bigger than yours.
So as I was saying, immediately next to it on the left is obviously the best comic book of this whole Free Comic Book Day event.
The Tick.
Howard the Duck.
The Tick.
Oh, no, yeah, the Tick. That's even better.
The Tick has a free story every year, and I swear they're not, like, new stories, but they say they are, and it's like, I can't believe they are.
Yo, the Tick TV show came out way too early.
Yeah,
and now the new show's coming out way too late.
Yeah. I mean, who knew stories to people who probably aren't even aware that Tick was actually a comic book in the first place?
Yeah.
Or a TV show.
I mean, but, like, you'll have, like, a lot of oddball. I try and go for the smaller or the oddball stuff. Anything with a cover, like, for something I'm not familiar with, you'll get a lot of stuff. I mean, last year,
yeah,
I managed to get...
Mean. Like Captain Canuck, I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's an old one. Yeah, they a lot of companies try to revive lines with this. I mean, like this year, Phantom is coming back again.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a good idea to do. Come on, it's free comic book day. Go for it, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you'll have, like, your breakouts. I mean, last year, Power Rangers Zero or One or whatever it was, like, was a massive success. I mean, that one was going for like $50 on eBay if you find a copy.
Yeah, and I mean, people were in, and then it was going up against Secret Wars issue Zero.
Listen, Power Rangers itself is a freaking niche,
right? So I mean, I mean, basically, you don't even need the Marvel and DC stuff because you know they're going to overprint, so you'll be able to find those with ease. I mean, you go for the smaller stuff because I mean, it's cool to see what the other guys are doing. What your smaller companies are doing. I mean, like, Is or whoever is putting out that Attack on Titan Kodansha. They're putting out that Attack on Titan anthology series, so they're going to do a preview now.
Oh, I know what Shadow's going to get on Free Comic Book Day.
Strawberry Shortcake.
Yeah.
No, Pokemon Pocket Comics. That's
Wait, who's on the cover though?
Pikachu.
If it's Pikachu, come.
Actually, it's not Pikachu. Pikachu's not even on the cover.
Yeah, Meowth is.
Oh, yes. I will.
And Oshawott's there.
God. she just got suckered into that one.
Oh, man, that was just like, yeah.
Wait, you grew up on Pikachu?
No, it's just Pikachu is just like so standard.
Pikachu. Right?
Can you say what he says? Pika.
I'm like, God, I can't follow that up.
Oh, no, you can't? I think you can.
Do any of you know Doraemon?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you know how to say sing the theme song?
Oh, Lord.
Do you?
I'm going to leave that to Dalek.
A little bit.
Yeah,
we got to hear this.
I don't. I mean, I've only watched a couple episodes of the original the 1979 Doraemon sub. I don't remember how the theme song goes.
Russ knows.
All right, Russ.
Yeah, let's hear it.
There you go.
Okay, that's good. Now your next challenge is to sing the theme just for Zaison.
Oh my gosh.
I'll leave that up to the other V person.
I was about to say, we got a swung off.
Almost had him.
Come on, we can do karaoke.
Yes.
Yeah, don't encourage them.
Yo,
Ron.
We should do a show of karaoke like old cartoons. That would be so dope.
Oh, please no. Yes.
I mean, we have one member of ours who's been pushing to do a sing-along episode for a year and a half.
Throw the song on and whoever knows the words, just jump right in. Come on, it's like jump rope karaoke.
So I'm warning you, do not tempt fate. It'll go badly for everyone.
I am tempting you.
I can do the Transformers theme. That's about it.
Dude, that's all you need.
Well, at least more than meets the eye.
God. All right, moving on. So last episode, we talked about Rebirth, which was DC's new attempt to reboot their universe.
Again.
That's what it was called?
Yes. But they're not the only ones this year doing a restart. Marvel recently finished up Secret Wars and are basically reworking several comics and storylines, while expanding others and even adding characters to what is known as the 616. And that's all leading to the all-new, all-different Marvel Universe. So, first question. How is it different from DC's approach?
Their name.
I'll tell you why. It's because Marvel's initiative isn't trying to be the end of an era.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it just seems like they're sort of bringing it back to the glory days. To me, it's sort of like they want to do sort of like a fresh approach by while recapturing the glory days of the 70s, the 80s, and stuff like that when, comics were at their high. And they're doing things to along those lines.
It feels like, Marvel reboots. It's not even really a reboot. It's just more of a continuation. Even in the storyline, people are like, something changed, but we can't remember really what happened.
Yeah. That's why I didn't say it's like
one more day.
Yeah, it's not like a real reboot as much as, okay, all these things have been reworked and the storylines are now falling into the 616. Yeah.
Right. They're never doing like a full undoing. They even said so. Things happen the way they happened.
Yeah.
But there's wiggle room.
Marvel comes out, they do like one of those like quick clothes change. It's like, oh shoot, they got a new suit. I'm getting this comic.
Yeah.
But the clothes are different. This is so hot.
They even explained what everyone just basically assumed in one of their comics. They're basically on a 10-year sliding timeline. So every 10 years, that's when it's time to refresh and modernize without undoing everything that happened. You're just, cleaning up things that aren't relevant anymore. Iron Man didn't go to Vietnam because, Vietnam didn't happen 10 years ago. That's kind of out of date.
Yeah.
You now have two Spider-Men. You have, of course, Peter Parker jet-setting around as a billionaire.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Meanwhile, you have Miles Morales as Spider-Man of New York City. He's not like Spider-Man 2. He is Spider-Man, but
he's not Spider-Boy. He's not Spider-Dude. He's not the Black Spider or something like that.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Spider-Man.
They
even make a point of saying that in the book. He's Spider-Man.
Yep, those titles too. We'll get into that point, but a lot of these titles too are sort of like starting to hit home in terms of actual kind of what's going on in the world right now and in our society and things like that. Starting to hit certain topics, but you have Mary Jane working for Tony. She's getting her own armor. You have you have Vision having his own family who's starting to go psychotic,
right?
You have the Ultimates, which is basically Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Monica Rambeau, and a few other characters gallivanting, making Galactus a good guy.
Yeah, Galactus isn't an eater of worlds anymore. He's a bringer of life now.
Yes.
Oh, he's a pet.
Boring.
Good
it's
boy.
Not, it's
good
actually
boy.
Not boring. They've been like, the storyline just, they're really snappy storylines, but it's a whole new twist.
Yep.
And they're basically searching... Why are things different suddenly? So that's like their big picture team is a really cool idea, and it's not all creepy and incesty like the old Ultimate team was. So.
Yeah. And meanwhile, going back to Black Panther, you're now splitting his attention now because not only is he part of the Avengers and the Ultimates, but now he's having to deal with what's going on with Wakanda.
Yeah,
because
they
probably
bringing it to the table.
And then, you have Ms. Marvel as an Avenger, and you have, of course, Steve Rogers coming back. So, you have a lot of things sort of coming back and going back and forth.
Well, how much is this basically just them trying to screw over Fox?
I think
I'm sure there's a good portion.
A lot
of it
there, probably, because the X-Men have been, they say it's not, but the X-Men have really been cordoned off because there's basically the mutant plague going on.
Yeah, because right
didn't
now you have
Uncanny Wolverine?
Yes,
well,
Wolverine
he's back.
Is he back?
Yeah.
I thought he was
still
dead.
He's
old man Wolverine
right after
now.
They killed him.
Oh, no, that's not our Wolverine. That's old man Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly. Basically,
our Wolverine
X-23.
Is dead and gone.
Are you talking about the new film?
No, the new comics Wolverine.
Because they're doing the old man Wolverine.
Yeah,
for the
exactly.
New
yeah, no, but like comic book Wolverine died. He died for the whole Secret War thing.
Yep.
Perished, his healing factor was taken away, and he was killed. X-23, his clone daughter, took over as Wolverine.
Yep.
But due to Secret War, we have Old Man Wolverine from the Old Man Wolverine storyline created by Mark Millar. So he's running around in the Marvel Universe, which is not the 616. Anymore, and Marvel keeps saying that fact.
Yeah, I know, but it's a good way. It's a good way of referencing it because most of the 616 is around,
right?
So, but yeah, Old Man Wolverine is now mentoring X-23 as Wolverine. So that's what's going on there.
Right.
They'll find a way to bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, well, Jean Grey has been dead 10 years or longer than 10 years now. She's close to 15 years, and she still has not been brought back.
Yep. I mean,
he's
sort
saying,
of brought
as soon as we back. Figure out, like, you know, the right story, we'll bring her back. I mean, the fact that they've stuck to their guns for this long is amazing.
I mean, they brought back her younger self, but that was about as close as bringing her back as they've come.
Right.
And they sort of killed her off after Secret Wars, so there you go. But, I mean, you have other... You have so many things going on. You know, you have the Wasp coming back. You know, things of that nature. But with that, we're already starting to go into Civil War too. And, you know, I kind of like where that storyline is going, because if anyone's following what's going on, it's basically standoff. You know, basically, S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically effed up again.
when don't they?
Yeah, exactly. And they basically made this prison camp because they got their hands on a cosmic cube. And they're basically you shards of the cosmic cube, and basically they're using it to wipe the basically reprogram the high end criminals to being part of this community.
Oh Jesus! And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what Standoff's about.
So they're doing basically what DC did, and we all got upset about it because DC had all these rape crazy people suddenly.
No, it's not like that. But it's like, you know, like Claw and like some of the superpower ones that are like. They basically, instead of imprisoning them, they basically wipe their minds and put them in this community in Illinois.
So it's like a really, really, really bland version of Genosha?
More or less. But,
is it
going to
turn into Springfield from G.I. Joe?
That's what basically we're going with.
Hey, Springfield is Marvel, so there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, that's what they were going for, and this is going to lead into Civil War 2, where it's basically, two, you know, the two parties are going to stand off against each other in terms of the concept. If you knew something was going to happen, would you take steps to take, it's basically like Minority Report, would you do something in order to prevent it, or would you let it happen? And basically, Captain Marvel's is taking the lead on one side, and Iron Man is taking the lead on the other. So, of course, Cap is, you know, Captain Marvel's basically going, yeah, we should do this, and Iron Man's like, no, we're not. So, basically, there's sort of like a hypocritical thing going on between Civil War 1 and Civil War 2. It's sort of like the reverse now. Huh. Captain America and Captain Marvel believe, hey, you know, this should happen, and Iron Man now thinks, oh no, it shouldn't.
So wait, you asked me a question. Captain America or Iron
yes.
Man?
Yes.
How about you all?
Oh, Captain America.
Captain America for sure.
Black Panther and Spider-Man.
That's Iron Man's side.
Black Panther and Spider-Man.
That's Iron Man's side.
Iron Man
by default. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We knew. I knew Toby was going to say Iron Man, but try to escape out of it.
I wasn't escaping out of it. There was no escape. I just called out my two favorites, and they're just on that side. So I got to go on that team. That's all I'm saying.
So what Spider-Man are we getting in that movie? Like which
Peter
Spider-Man?
Parker. Peter Parker, he's like 15 years old. He's still a kid.
But, like, from the comic side, because, you know, there are two, right? So
it's
which
Peter
one
Parker.
It's Peter
okay.
Parker.
Not Miles. Okay. Right.
Not Miles. No, he's not. No.
It's,
you can tell by the suit.
Even though they're doing basically a film version of Ultimate Spider-Man, it's pretty early on in that run.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, even if they do decide to bring Miles on, yeah, it's kind of early for Miles to show up. So, no, I mean, what do we think? Do we think this is going to be as successful, more successful than DC's, what DC's going to do?
But the Justice League?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. What are you talking about? You talking about the comic book story?
Yes,
talking
the
about?
Comic book.
Or the movie? Yeah,
no,
don't
we already confused. Know. We already know the answer to the movie. So.
Okay.
Yes, DC.
Because we already, I mean, listen, there's already reviews of Civil War, and they're like, nothing short of spectacular. So
yeah, it's at 100%.
Yeah, still.
Wow, still.
He's been saying that since the beginning of this week. It's at 100%.
So to me, I think this is like a natural progression in terms of Marvel, you know, keeping everything going in a certain direction.
Well,
as long as they keep away from doing stunt kind of stuff,
well,
I think they'll be okay for the next 10 years.
Well, this kind of strikes me as they finally elected to do their own version of Crisis on Infinite Earths and compact everything into one shared universe.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I got to read Secret Wars. I bought it over the weekend. That's beside the point.
Oh, yeah, read it.
Shut up.
I'm just saying. Read it. It's a good read. Go ahead.
God. Damn, God, Jonathan, you're so mean.
Moving on, there were quite a few trailers over the last week to 10 days. Also betas, anything, you know, a lot of things about some video games people are looking forward to. Two of the major ones being Gears of War 4. We started seeing stuff about that. And also another Xbox title, Titanfall 2, which we'll learn more in June, but we at least got to see something about it.
People still care about Titanfall?
No. People still care about Gears of War?
Yeah.
You know what?
Gears of War more than Titanfall, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Gears of War 4 because it's like a continuation story, because that was a really good storyline.
I don't know. They both fall into the douche bro category of games for me.
Douche bro.
That's a category?
You know, the Call of Duty, that kind of game. That game genre.
Now, you know what?
Wait, Call of Duty? They have not fell that far yet.
Yeah,
yeah, they have.
No, they haven't.
Oh, yeah, they have.
Wait. Which gameplay are we talking to right now? M-Dog or Dialect?
No, you're talking to the moral majority here, sir.
Good comeback. Yeah. Woo.
No, you know what?
Take your Mountain Dew Doritos while you play Titanfall 2.
See why you got caught? See, you know which one to call out, right, though.
You do realize Big Bob Rob, our brother over at the Black Geeks, does play Titanfall quite often.
Hey, I mean, Big Bob Rob is my best friend, but we can disagree on things. So.
There you go. Then bring him online and let him talk.
Yo, take him on Titanfall.
Twitterella, please do the honors. Please do the honors of calling him out, please.
Let's start some civil war.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, friggin' Star Fox Zero comes out next week, so I'm looking forward to
See?
That.
I'm looking forward to that.
Are they going to push it back, guys?
Nope, it's official. It's coming out next Friday.
Yeah.
All right, I definitely have to pick that up, because, like, they keep changing that damn...
No, I have it on pre-order, so Amazon will ship it.
That doesn't mean anything, dude.
Exactly.
I had Kingdom Hearts on pre-order as soon as the PlayStation dropped, PlayStation 4. Is that game out yet?
No.
What game?
Kingdom Hearts.
Are any of you looking forward to Final Fantasy 15 or Dragon Quest 11?
I Final was Fantasy, not honestly yes. looking forward to Final Fantasy 15 just because I think, you know, it's been, what is it, 8 years that thing has been in development, and I figured it was never coming.
Oh, it's been longer than 8 years. It's been more like 12.
12
yeah,
years.
It's been an extremely ridiculously long time, too long for any game. I mean, that's too forever level.
Because I mean, I was still living in
the trailer and
States.
The preview impressed me.
And like, I played the beta.
I'm not easily impressed, and especially
yeah, how was the beta?
Swear.
Listen, the part that they gave you was like playing Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was the graphics was off the hook. It was, if the beta is anything of what they're going to give, because it's going to be like 20 times more, I'm ready for it. I want it.
I'm curious. I mean, like, the hype is there. I still don't own a PS4, so I'm hoping that they announce a PC release at some point.
Well, no, they have, well, it's Xbox One and PS4.
I don't own either of those.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm sure it's going to be on PC also.
Yo, if it's on Xbox One, it's going to be on PC.
Yeah, I mean, 9 just came out on PC this week. Yep. So.
But you got to watch out, though, because it's, you know, they're just, you know, booting it over. So you can get a bad...
I mean, but it's just amazing how the hype machine is in full effect for 15. I mean, they had that, they had the trailer, they had, like, you know, a new single from Florence and the Machine.
Also, they had the anime.
The cartoon.
The anime was actually enjoyable. I watched that on YouTube.
And then you have the movie coming out, what, in a couple months, I think, before the game comes out?
Oh, they're doing a movie, too?
Yeah.
I didn't remember
Yeah,
that.
It's like a prequel to the storyline.
Okay, I thought the anime was that.
No, this is also a prequel. It's basically dealing with his father, Noctis's father.
But isn't this a continuation of 13?
Sort of. It's okay. 13, 15 and 13 were basically, in a couple of other games, were basically a whole concept that Square came up with called the Novella Chrysalis or something like that.
Yeah. Novella Fabulous Crystallis.
Yes. And it basically, it's all in, like, the same kind of parallel worlds. So, like, they share
It's my genre.
There you go.
Yeah. It's kind of like, your genre. Like, it's an American Horror Story kind of thing where they have, like, you know, Acom and Fred, but they're not connected at all.
Yeah, so, like certain things like Eidolons exist, but in certain other things, but other than that, it's a different storyline. It's a different world.
So, like, so basically, it's every Final Fantasy game.
No, this one has.
How many Final Fantasy games have Moogles in them and have nothing to do with each other?
No, yeah. But this is a tighter thread. It's a tighter thread.
Yeah.
This is the word Crystallis. It's like a butterfly being opened. They all go into the same thing, but they come out different.
Yeah, you have like, what the hell did they call them? Ones that are like branded. I forgot what they called them. The characters are branded, they can use Eidolons. Anyway, I don't care. The False C, they all have False C, so, you know. You know, it's stuff like that, but other than that, it's different storylines. You had something else to say, Russ?
Well, no, I was wondering if you know Dragon Quest. You see, as I was mentioning before,
yeah, 11.
Up in Japan.
Yeah. So, I'm playing 9 now, actually, on my 3DS.
Yeah, I know it seems a lot, but there was a game called Dragon Warrior here that was kind of similar. Yeah.
It is. No, it is Dragon Quest. No, that is it was called Dragon Warrior.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was being sarcastic.
I still remember playing Dragon Warrior 1 at like 7 years old, and it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing here.
Yeah, I didn't get in back into Dragon Quest till like 8, and then like, I was like, oh my god, this
good.
Is great.
Yeah,
8 was really good.
Yeah.
And then they're re-releasing it.
But I liked 8.
And they're re-releasing 8, and they're re-releasing 7 in the West. They're releasing 7 in the West.
Are they putting them on anything besides mobile? Because I remember like seeing it in the Android store or something.
No, 8, 7 coming out.
Was on that, and to be honest, it looked okay. You know,
I'm playing 3D. I'm playing. Well, it was for. They're all for the 3DS. I'm playing 9 right now.
Okay. You like it?
Yeah. No, there's a couple of things in there that are kind of cool. Like you can. Pick your parties. Like you have one character, but you can pick whatever class of characters you want to come with you.
What is that?
No, basically you could pick your party. It's basically, do you want to have a fighter, a mage, you know, a healer? You know, you don't have supplemental characters outside of the ones that you meet when you're going along the different quests. It's just. Yeah,
but it's more impersonal. I loved 8 because 8 was like it was a true story, you know.
Yeah,
that's
I liked 8, but I don't know. 9 I thought was a misfire. That's just my opinion.
No, they were trying to do some things in it, and I believe they kind of fell flat in their face. Like for instance, the whole multiplayer portion. It's like I can't play it because I can't.
Yeah, it was in Japanese.
The only JRPG thing I care about right now is East 8, and that's off for another couple months.
Yeah. So, but going back to 11, I'm like, I want to play it, but then it's like, it's for PS3 and PS4. Oh, I can't. I don't have one.
Are they coming out with an American version for Dragon Quest 11?
Yeah.
Yeah, 11 will get it.
Because Dragon Quest 10, they didn't.
Well, that was an MMO, so that's like, a little harder sell.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, 11, they're having a full release. 3 gets... Yeah, PS3 and PS4 get a release. The one for PS4 looks phenomenal.
I think it's only PS4 and 3DS now.
I don't think they're doing 3DS.
No, they're
they
like,
are.
Yeah, it's a 3DS and PS4 edition.
So they are doing a 3DS, so I can't play it!
Yeah.
And your life has been made, people.
Well, prepare to feel old. It's the 30th anniversary.
anniversary of Dragon Quest.
That's brutal.
I'm okay with that. but you also saw Doom. You also saw the multiplayer beta for Doom, which I did not get a chance to touch, but I've seen video of it. It looks freaking crazy. We also saw Battleborn, the beta for that, and there was actually IGN put out a 20-minute video of No Man's Sky of playable.
Oh God, I can't look at that game because I really want it.
I get a hard on every time I see that.
I'm just hoping it's not a disappointment like Spore. That's like the closest thing I can equate to it, and like I don't know what disappointment Spore was.
How about Aliens Colonial Marines? That level of disappointment.
Oh my God! Why did
we don't
do
we
that?
Don't ever talk about
Nobody
that.
Nobody wants to remember
I'm,
that.
I'm off the podcast. I'm off. I'm gone, people.
We do not talk about that game ever.
We'll miss you.
Yeah, he's our producer. He's running the recording.
More than you missed that game.
I cannot believe that game still goes for over $20 on Steam. What the hell?
What? Are you serious? They trying to get it whatever money they can because they didn't get nothing. That was the first game that dropped price the first week.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that dropped hard. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember seeing it at Best Buy up here. It's like, oh, $20.
Dude, I pre-ordered that crap, man. I'm still mad. I want my money back.
That's why it's a rare game that I'll pre-order.
Yo, I'm gonna hold on to it because something has to happen with it.
It'll depreciate even more in value.
And I will give my child a 1 cent game and be like, "Yes, never play this ever."
It's like this is a lesson to you.
That's hilarious.
This is why we read the reviews before we buy games.
Hey, I pre-ordered, buddy.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing with games. Moving on. It was released. What was it? Last month, that Rocket League will be the first game to offer cross-platform multiplayer.
Once again, we are given this cross-multi-platforming, and we're not going to get it, people.
No,
everybody's getting it.
They're going to give it to us.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
Who is they? First,
no, like Sony said they were going to do it. Microsoft said we'll do it, and no one's blinked yet, so they're doing it.
Yeah, because the developer was like, okay, the next patch we're going to introduce this new. This new engine, multiplayer engine, will also release on PS4. And oh, by the way, this new engine will allow you to cross-platform multiplayer.
This is all I'm saying. That's awesome. I was burned when Halo first dropped, all right? Yeah. And Microsoft buying it from the company keeping it to themselves and just not allowing it to be multi. That was supposed to be like one of the first multi-platform games to drop. Halo. You know how long Halo been out?
Yeah, I know.
Nope. Yeah.
Oh, I remember we were watching it at school, man.
Yeah, in Geek Soul Brothers office.
I mean, it was originally Mac, so I mean.
Yeah, no, yeah. But it was tested on Mac, ran on Mac, and then it was supposed to be put out as multi-platform. And somebody got upset. Microsoft?
Yeah, Microsoft bought out Bungie, and that was the end of multi-platform.
Like, come on.
But now Microsoft, all these years later, is like, hey, listen, we're okay with this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have new management now at Microsoft, and especially at the at the 343 Studios.
All right.
Xbox, and the guys running Xbox is like, you know what? We're all for developers now, and we want to have as many people as possible play.
Yeah. After we done tested on Windows 10 and Xbox One, it's like, oh man, we can even
Rocket League will work on PC, man.
I play Fallout 4 on my freaking PC, and it works beautifully. Yeah, it's a bit streaming issue here and there.
Yeah,
but hey, it runs.
No, but see, don't get me.
I mean, it also helps that Fallout's using a dated as hell engine because they refuse to
All right, shut up.
Wow, no, that dated?
They're not glitches, they're features.
Is it really that glitch dated for this week?
You know, if it's really that dated, I could possibly run it.
Yo, I'm just saying do it, and do it on a game that I want to play.
Well, that's what they're saying. Just trying out with Rocket League, because this is a publisher who was willing to try out this engine first.
Yeah. I mean, they'd already been on cross-platform. They'd worked on PC and PS4 for like ever now.
Yeah. So now that if this is successful, you know, they basically open the floodgates. It's like, okay, who wants to use it? Who wants to use it?
Okay, I'll jump on it. I'll be there.
It's really up to the developers at this point to really take advantage of it.
Okay. As long as they don't take it away from them. But I'm fine. I'll be there. I'll check it out.
I mean, what games would you want to see as cross-platform at this point?
Dude, just about any game you can jump online and play people with. You should not have to pick a console.
Yeah,
to
play any non-exclusive game should basically play on any.
Yeah, personally, I would love to play Battlefront with you because I know more people with Battlefront on PS4 than I do Xbox One.
And I'm sure that's coming, like for any future releases once they figure out how Rocket League is. And
yo, Division should have been open across the board.
What game?
The Division.
Division. I thought you said Vision. I'm like, what the hell is he talking about?
Maybe that's the future game.
That's
the game I'm writing right now. That you can't even see that yet.
He gotcha.
Hey, talking about
the holographic games. Okay, let's look at that.
Our guest had something to say.
I just watched the movie Pixels, so I started thinking about
that. Oh, God. Okay, so as
we thought he was saying something. We're sorry.
We'll bring you blankets and hot cocoa immediately.
We're sorry. Anyway. Go ahead, Russ. What about
Pixels? I was reminiscing about the oldies, the classics.
Okay.
All
right.
Do you all ever play the classics?
Oh,
yes, yes, that's all I play.
No, real talk. Real talk, yo.
Wait, you still have your Atari?
Yeah, I don't have my Atari, but my Atari was stolen in
1984. Okay?
I do have
an Atari. I got my Sega Genesis.
I still have my 2600. It's just sitting someplace.
What did you say, Russ?
It was Doc Brown who stole your...
No, it was my neighbor.
But Russ, anytime I can grab a classic and at least throw it on my iPhone and be bored and play it, I do. So I have like Pac-Man, I have like Asteroids, I have like some weird old games people wouldn't expect.
Did you like
the movie though? You know,
No, I am so pissed off. I saw the freaking trailers was like, this is the dopest idea ever. You can't mess this up. And I walked out the theater like, how the hell did you mess that up?
It was the director, Chris Columbus, who did like Adventures in Babysitting.
Columbus messed up something else?
Yeah, he did Home Alone, he did the first Harry Potter movie, and he wrote
The Goonies, he wrote Gremlins. I mean,
he did a lot of great films.
He wasn't ready for that.
He somewhat ruined Harry Potter 1 and 2, mind you.
Oh, he did. That's right. He did Harry Potter. And really about that.
Two words. Bicentennial Man.
I forgot that movie.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Keep up with all his work, people. He slowly just fell apart. And then he made Pixels.
I'm going to send Russ my GeekSoulBrother.com review of Pixels. Okay. And we can talk after that.
Okay. No, I don't even think you can talk after that.
I think it was her first review for us, wasn't it?
No, it was Terminator Genesis.
It was probably the worst.
So what did you give? Zero?
Her worst viewing for us.
Oh my gosh, I gave it like, who knows? It was awful.
I think it was like a half,
President Kevin James? Come on.
No, I did not like.
Russ is already. He already digging in there. I see Russ right now. He got Shadow and like a headlock, giving her knuckles. Like the president was good, wasn't he?
He wasn't.
The movie
wasn't good. Okay, but it was kind of nice to see all those 80s.
Yes,
that's why I brought it up.
The vision idea was great, but for me
it hurt my heart because seeing it all in a crappy movie. So
I refuse to give Adam Sandler any money.
Ever.
That's another thing. There's people in the room that hate him. So
yeah,
that doesn't
hate
help.
Him, hate him with a passion and a half. Toby.
Yo.
Will you do a quick review?
No. But okay. what I will do, not a review, but just to put you people on, just a quick pickup. You won't be disappointed. Grab Quantum Break. Quantum Break is I don't know, for gamers that enjoy the Max Payne series, is the same team that made that with the, you know, the
isn't it the Indigo Prophecy guys?
Remedy?
Yeah, Remedy.
It was Remedy and Entertainment.
Okay.
Who did it? The people they did because
they did Alan Wake.
Yeah, they gave that game out free. Well, Alan as Lake a matter of fact, if you pre-ordered. So that's what you think. Think of Max Payne and Alan Wake combined into one game. It is a decent game. I'm saying pick it up. And the playing with time, the way they play with it, it is so crazy because they break down your ability into these like skills that you literally become like a superhero. You become the Flash. Like you're moving that fast in the way that you're able to control time. It's just it's ridiculous. It's a fun play. It's a good story going through. Only downfall I would say is they do this. You're going through the game, and the game is combined into like a live action storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear.
No, that's not even bad either. That it flows in great. The actors that they got and everything flows in great. The thing is that those cutscenes are being streamed. So if your connection is bad,
you'll be a little jittery.
You're gonna go through the game real good, and you're gonna get to your cutscene, and you're gonna be like, buffering. But the thing I do like about it is it's for the people that play. Let me see, Metal Gear. You know how Metal Gear gets to their cutscenes, and
yeah,
they seem like they're forever.
Yeah.
Well, these due to the fact of that. Well, good, the great acting, I would say, and the flowing that it has with the game, you don't lose out in any way. It's a great pickup. So,
now, is this a full game or is this like episode one?
No, full game. All of it.
Okay, because I remember the TV, they were talking about like a TV show, and I thought like.
They're bringing the TV show
goes into the game as you play it, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so it's kind of like the that Alan Wake sequel where you had the weird TV show element.
Yeah, but this flows, it flows even tighter than the Alan Wake one. And it's really good. I don't have a review. I did want to try to finish the game because it was so good.
That's enough of a review. That's fine.
But I'm telling you, pick it up. It's a lot of fun.
Excellent. Good show. Shadow, any cons coming up for the next month real quick? A couple minutes?
Yeah, so if you're in the Philly area, starting May 20th on Saturday, I believe, there is Ekbok, which is the East Coast comics.
I thought it was a Klingon convention.
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like Klingon.
Dude,
it sounds like Klingon.
Is it on Kronos?
We all know a little Klingon now after the last show.
No, we don't, because we thought that was
Ekbok, East Coast Convention, Black Age of Comics. So it's happening in Philly on the weekend of May 20th through 21st. Check that out. And obviously, Free Comic Day, Free Comic Book Day is happening May 7th. So have fun with that.
Hold on. What about the Calgary Expo? It's going to be the last show that Stan Lee does.
Hello?
I did not hear about this. Tell us more, Canadian sister.
Okay, Calgary Expo happens between April 29th and May. I think it's May 2nd is the weekend.
Yeah. It's the last show I'll ever do. So be there, true believers.
Yeah, so basically,
stop sad. Excelsior.
It's the last show that Stan Lee is doing.
Yep. It's getting too old.
Chewbacca is coming.
Yay! Are you gonna go?
Yes, actually, I've got tickets.
She always gets her tickets like a year in advance.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be going to that show, and I'll be tweeting live, and I'll be sending pictures out as I normally do on Twitter about everybody that's there and all the costumes because the costumes are awesome.
Are you going to whore us out at the show also, like you did this for the other? Okay, cool.
Yep.
Excellent.
As much as possible. And hopefully I can get a couple of the black comic book writers as well as some of the other actors to hopefully come on this as well. Excellent. We were so lucky to get Russell. Yay! Yes.
Well, no, thank you for having me. I'm having a blast here. I've been being the V person. Mostly listen, but still, you know, it's pretty cool.
We thank you for joining us, definitely. If you ever want to come back on to this show or the regular podcast, just let us, you know, more than welcome to drop in.
Yeah,
no, I appreciate that. I'll even ask my parallel self.
Wait, is your parallel self a good one, or is it a bad one?
I wasn't mentioning occupants to movie.com. Nothing of that.
next month's show, which is May 12th, we don't have a guest, but we are working on topics, one of which will definitely be anime related. Hint, hint, Dalek.
Okay.
Feel that love.
Well, he was complaining in our usual chat courses, but of course, if you have any show or segment ideas for the future, hit us up at 5nerdyvenoms@gmail.com. We will most likely steal them from you.
I mean, if you don't give it to us.
Exactly. Tuesday on our regular show, I'm sure there will be a review of the Jungle Book. But beyond that, we have nothing planned, as usual. And for Saturday Night Sci-Fi Geek Soul... Exactly. For Saturday Night Sci-Fi, Geek Soul Brother is live tweeting the sci-fi classic with a potential upcoming horrible sequel, Blade Runner.
I've seen things.
Of course, always follow Jonathan J. Stone Zero, Real Lord Dalek, Mdog 957, Aaliyah _ She, Arch Humana, that's Shadow Scout, Philorican _ Uno, Howard Toby, that's of course the Toby One Kenobi, of course Geek Soul Brother, and also Illuminous, who we have not seen in an awful long time. And
3 weeks ago.
And of course, 2 weeks ago.
Three weeks ago.
Okay, we had a show like a month ago.
He's going to keep counting. Four weeks ago.
And of course, Russ, what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is my name, Russell Emmanuel.
Oh,
Russell Emmanuel.
Cool. And of course, follow. Well, actually, Geek Soul Brother is saying we might have the creator of Killjoys and Lost Girl on next week.
Yeah!
Oh, wow!
He's bringing it home.
It's not as big a grab as the creator of Octopus.
Oh my god!
I'm still on that site. Like, I'm like, yo.
Wow, I'm blushing.
You, sir.
I'm gonna quote a reviewer. It makes me want to hit the reset button and go console myself.
Oh. And who said that? Who said that?
I don't know. Who said that?
Jeez. Of course, for your nerdy news, check us out 5NerdyVenoms on Twitter and Facebook. We also have a Twitch account, which we're going to eventually use. We have to figure out some details, but it's all set up, ready to go. Just ready to. All we have to do is fire.
Be ready to watch.
Exactly. Also, check out GeekSoulBrother.com for your reviews and commentary from the man in the Delta Quadrant, as well as the rest of us. Also, you know, no pressure, but if you know, hit that donate button. That's that.
Donate.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is why we don't do karaoke.
Oh, yeah, we're not. As you can tell,
anybody who donates.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, as you can tell, Russell, we are not subtle at all on this show. So
we'll get Russell to sing for you guys. Donate to hear Russell sing.
Exactly. So that's it. Enjoy your weekend and come back and join us on Tuesday. Until then, remember, never give Adam Sandler any money ever.
At all.
Oh, I just broke that cardinal rule last night.
Anyway, peace out, everyone.
Bye.
That's been on Pixels.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you, definitely, Russ, for joining us.
Definitely.